that winter has come.
Welcome to the hottest podcast, 16s and Things, blending sports and hip-hop with your favorite host, Ms. 100. So turn up the volume and let's get into it.
What's good, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the 16s and Things, the podcast. This is episode 47, y'all. This is your host, Ms. 100. And whew, what a weekend. What a weekend. Yesterday is Saturday. Today I'm recording on a beautiful Sunday. The weather is beautiful out there, but Drake got the internet on fire in the hip-hop community. He released a diss song. I thought it was pretty light. He came at about five niggas, Ross included, and Ross dropped the diss song 2 hours after he posted that shit on the internet. First they were saying that Drake released it as a leak or something like that. Then they re-released it again and was saying it was the final version. I don't know what that was all about, but you know, I'll get into that shit later. But I want to actually start the show off by saying rest in peace to OJ Simpson, one of the greatest NFL running backs ever. So many records were set by this guy. Yeah, so rest in peace to the Juice, and my condolences go to him, to his family. And I got another rest in peace to DJ Mr. C. Damn, this is crazy. Credit with discovering Big Daddy Kane and Biggie. He was Kane's DJ back in 88. And then, you know, he discovered, he helped discover Big, you know, DJ Mr. C's. He's from Brooklyn, so you know how that go. But damn, man, he was only 57 years old, yo. 57 years old, yo. That's crazy. That's crazy, yo. That's not even old. You know what I'm saying? I know these young niggas, they think a motherfucker that's 25 is ancient. You know what I'm saying? But, yo, my condolences go to Mr. C and his family. So let me get into this week's rant, yo. This is something that's just been annoying me for a while now. And it's some social media shit. You know, I've been seeing, you know, these videos on social media that's been going viral. And some boy, he called himself downplaying the talent of the NBA players from the 90s. And he called it, "We done with the 90s," right? A few of his videos went viral. And I can't front. When I first seen a couple of them, I was like, all right, these Jones is kind of funny. But now I'm seeing other people copycatting his style because they trying to go viral also. The shit is fucking annoying to me now because it's really painting a false narrative that the 90s just was overhyped with a bunch of non-talented fucking players, and that's not even true, yo. Like recently, a younger guy, you know, I'm not gonna mention his name, but he shared with me a video, and the video was saying that Michael Jordan wasn't that good. He was overhyped, and the teams that he won his championships, his six championships over, were trash teams. So I'm like, hold the fuck up, yo. And this is why I said those videos is not cool for painting that narrative, because you have younger people who never witnessed those games in live. And I don't mean like actually being at the stadium, but like watching the shit on TV live, yo. Like, I'm one of those people. I was born late 70s. I'm an 80s, 90s baby. You feel me? So like, I'm going to fucking defend my era any fucking chance I got, especially when these young people was out here not doing any research. When they see shit like this, they just want to talk shit. So yeah, the person, he was agreeing with that video, saying, you know, Jordan ain't play against nobody. I'm like, hold up. I had to just let him know, like, yo, those teams that Jordan played against that he won his chips with, man, they was great fucking teams. The first chip they beat the 91 Lakers, who had Magic, still had Worthy. team Magic. Listen, the year after that, Magic, you know, the HIV thing, he retired, whatever. But Magic still was, he still was like coming out of his prime. He still was playing. His number still was top. You know what I'm saying? And then the next chip that the Bulls won was the 90 against the 92 Blazers. Come on, yo. 92 Blazers with Drexler and that squad. Yo, Buck Williams, Duckworth, Terry Porter, Jerome Kersey. Like, come on, yo. We talking about that team was loaded, man. They was solid, man. They was blowing motherfuckers out that year. They was scoring so many points. Back then, it was crazy, and it wasn't even based on shooting a whole bunch of threes. Now, don't get it twisted. Terry Porter was letting them loose. He was a 3-point shooting motherfucker, and Jerome Kersey, he can shoot too. But the next chip that they won against was the 93 Suns, a team that had Barkley at his fucking prime, Kevin Johnson, Tom Chambers, but Tom Chambers, his back was fucked up around that time, but he still was there. He still was on the squad. That squad was fucking loaded. Dan Marley, come on, yo. I'm mentioning some fucking solid, top-notch teams, yo. And then the next chip he won was against 90. It was the 96 Sonics. They had Kemp. They had Peyton. They had Detlef Schrempf. They had Hersey Hawkins. Man, come on, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, Peyton was averaging like 20-something. Kemp was averaging like 20-something. Hersey, dangerous from beyond the three. You know what I'm saying? Three-point line. It's crazy, yo. Like, these teams also had defense, too. So, it's like, yo, shit just angers me when I don't like when people don't do their research. You know, you want to talk shit about something you don't even know about, especially without providing facts. I like to, you know, sometimes provide facts with my opinions, but you know, we living in some fucked up, corny, sucker-ass times right now. But the next two chips was against the Utah Jazz. That was 97 and 98. That was a back-to-back. That lets you know how tough the fucking Utah Jazz was. Stockton and Karl Malone, Jeff Hornacek, you know, and the others. You know, I ain't going to name the whole fucking roster, but I'm sure, you know, my listeners, those who know, they know, you know what I'm saying? They know that fucking Utah Jazz team was a problem, you know what I mean? That was a fucking problem, yo. So, I basically had to let the guy know that, yo, I personally watched those games live, and I witnessed how great those teams and the players were. So, man, look, man. Shit, how about he saying I'm done with the 90s? Shit, I'm done with this new era.
All I see is blinking lights, trackboards and fat mics, 950s, SB12s, MP60s. Shit is thumping, eardrums pumping. The shit is tight, hype, but the sample is tight, right?
Shout out to Dawn Staley and her team for winning the championship and going undefeated the whole season. I mean, 38-0 is very impressive. I mean, then you finish it off by winning the chip. Yo, that is so fucking legendary. It's Coach Staley's third championship win. And I gotta let y'all know, I love supporting my fellow Philadelphians who are successful in anything. You know, they alive, they doing great things for their community and their family. I just love it. You know what I'm saying? I just love supporting my fellow Philadelphians. But I gotta say, Dawn, you are tripping. And where I'm going with this is, she's tripping for saying transgenders should be allowed to compete in women's sports. You fucking tripping for that, Dawn. That shit is cheating without using steroids. Biologically, that human is a man. Regardless, regardless if that man feels and only see himself as a woman, it's just not fair. Imagine if LeBron James, you know, matter of fact, I'm going to say a LeBron James type of dude became a transgender woman and was allowed to compete in women's basketball. That transgender would average probably 40 points and 15 rebounds. Crazy numbers. And like, just going by his natural anatomy, it would be totally unfair to those women out there competing. I mean, biological women. The biological women that's out there competing. It just would be unfair, you know, to even allow something like that. So, I think, I don't know. I was about to say I don't think we ever would see that happening. But then, you know, I never thought women's basketball will ever be this popular. You feel me? And this is not coming from someone, you know, that's sexist, because I'm far from, I don't have that mindset. I'm not a sexist person, but I would like to say, I think Dawn Stelly is from that community, the gay community. So she's all down for it.
Now, one shot deals. Yeah, okay, now I'm in the spot where I wanna be. Money spent, niggas getting bent, chicks in front of me. Just the way I like it, honey's turning something. I got a seat up in the cut and I'm burning something. Fruities dance around a nigga and I'm killing ones. Off the top of the stairs and I'm feeling buns. Plus I'm dolo at the table. I'm fucking with the chick with the fat fatty and the ring up in the navel. Dances around, she struts with the fuck.
Are the Neptunes beefing? And if you don't know who I'm talking about, the Neptunes are producers, considered legendary producers in hip hop, Chad and Pharrell. And the reason why I asked this question, because I recently came across an article that I was reading, and it said that Chad is accusing Pharrell of seeking control over the trademark of the actual Neptune's name without letting him know. Now, I don't know if this is a money grab for whoever is the attorney for Chad, and is somebody around Chad putting shit in his head or whatever. Listen, I don't know these dudes, so my opinion is biased coming across this news. Pharrell claims he was just protecting the name. I mean, we don't know, because you know the industry is dirty. You know, the music industry is dirty. Niggas would turn on their homies. They would turn on their lady. They would turn on their closest ones for a bag. You know, that's the sad reality of working with individuals in the music industry. It's a, you know, what Q-Tip say in the song? Industry rule number 3080. The industry is shady. And that was back in, shit, early 90s when he released that song and said that shit. But, yeah, it sound like something is cooking. Something is cooking with in between Chad and Pharrell. And my industry insiders, they were saying stuff like Chad is really the one that was actually producing the bulk of the work that the Neptunes was putting out. He just didn't want to be seen. He wanted to be behind the scenes. And Pharrell is more so, he always want to be seen. He is, you know, he's definitely a dope artist, because Pharrell is actually an artist himself. So now I get it. I understand. I never understood the Neptunes relationship, because Chad was always a silent dude. He not doing too many interviews. I don't even think I ever seen him in an interview, by the way. And when he was on camera, he wasn't saying nothing. It was always Pharrell doing all the talking. So, man, I'm going to say this, man. I just hope these dudes figure it out, come together, work it out, yo. And I hope it ain't, I hope it don't come out that Pharrell was burning Chad, yo. I really, because I got a lot of respect for Pharrell, yo. And I don't want to look at him on some old, like he doing niggas like Diddy or some shit like that. Because we all know Diddy, fucking paper hustler, yo. Paper hustler. You know what I'm saying? Burning motherfuckers left and right with that motherfucking pen. But, yo, I hope these two young brothers, man, well, they ain't that young no more. But I hope they get it together and they can work their business differences out. And that's that, yo.
Part four, motherfuckers. Stop that, nigga. Violator, nigga, one, nigga. This nigga serious. Type serious. Nigga, one, nigga. Nigga, one, nigga.
So Ice Cube offered Caitlin Clark $5 million. Yep, y'all hearing me. Y'all are hearing me correct. He offered her $5 million to play in his big three league. I gotta ask, y'all gotta let me know too, is it a smart business move or is he shitting on the black female players, yo? Now, Caitlin Clark, she has galvanized the whole women's basketball thing. And I'm, matter of fact, I gotta emphasize college. The women's college basketball, she has galvanized that lane. She's looking like she's going to be the number one draft pick for the WNBA, which is, the draft is tomorrow. I'm recording on a Sunday. So tomorrow is Monday, Monday night. She's looking to be drafted number one. But it just feels like the hype behind Caitlin Clark and then, you know, Angel Reese and some other players. It just was the stories behind these players, yo, that created so much excitement. You know, the players going back and forth. They meeting each other in the tournament back to back. You know, it was, you know, Angel Reese, she played the villain role. Caitlin Clark was like, you know, the, you know, white people, she's America's fucking hero, you know what I'm saying? Most scoring, you know, she broke the record. She broke the record, scoring record in college basketball and shit like that. It almost seemed like Caitlin Clark is doing what Larry Bird and Magic Johnson did for the NBA in the 80s. And what I'm, where I'm going with this is, think about it. Nobody was, I'm not going to say nobody, but a lot of people didn't really care for the WNBA or like that. But Caitlin Clark, she's about to actually, she's about to boost the ratings, the viewership, because people want to see her play. Now she's transitioning to the WNBA. And I'm going to go back to my question when I said, is it a smart business move for Cube to offer her $5 million to play? You damn right it is. If I had the bread and the connects, shit, I'll bring Caitlin Clark. Yo, come on. Come on to my league. You know what I'm saying? Play in the summertime. You know what I'm saying? Yo, like, shit, fuck it. You only got to play a couple of games. That's going to bring so much. Well, it will bring so much viewership and talk and even more money to Ice Cube's league and his team, that's, you know, his investors. So to me, it's a smart business move. It ain't about, man, I always try to tell people, man, when you deep into business, man, that shit become less and less about color, yo. That shit become more about the color of that fucking paper. You know what I mean? So, like, you got to understand business, yo. You got to understand business and take your emotions out of the shit, yo. Take your emotions out of it and get your fucking bread. But back to what I was saying, when the NBA was turning into a poor product, here come Magic Johnson, here come Larry Bird. They turned things around. They created a villain, which was Bird, and then Magic with the smiles. You know, he had the million-dollar smile and shit. Everybody loved Magic, man. They loved seeing him play. They loved seeing him talk. You know, Larry Bird didn't talk much. From what I'm hearing, this nigga was cracking fucking six packs of beers at fucking halftime, throwing them back, busting ass. You know what I'm saying? Busting ass on the court after drinking a fucking six pack. But I'm not saying Caitlin on that level of those two legends, but for what she's doing for the WNBA is really going to be a good look, you know. So shit, yo, shout out to Caitlin Clark. Shit, I hope she take that $5 million. I would love to see her play against the guys in the Big Three League, yo. That would be dope. That'd be dope to me. That's my opinion. If you don't think it's dope, yo, listen, let me the fuck know, yo. Y'all know my handles. Check the box.
On the boulevard I landed, we used to kick routines and the presence was fitting. It was I, the abstract,
and me, the five-footer. I kicks the mad style, so step off the frankfurter.
Yo, Fife, you remember that routine that we used to make spiffy like Mr. Clean?
A tidbit, a smidgen. I don't get the message, so you got to
okay.
Run the pigeon.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
So then grab the microphone and let your words rip.
Now here's a funky introduction of how nice I am. Tell your mother, tell your father, send a telegram. I'm like an energizer, cause you see I last long. My crew is never ever whack because we stand strong. Now if you say my style is whack, I swear you're dead wrong. I say that body and El Segundo, then push it along.
Damn, I love me some Tribe, yo. I love some fucking Tribe, yo. Shout out to Tribe Called Quest and rest in peace to Fife. But let me get into this shit, yo. J motherfucking Cole. This nigga tucked his balls, yo. He tucked his balls, he tucked his meat, and act like a bitch. Yes, a fucking bitch, yo. Seriously, that's just the best way I could say this. The nigga apologized for dissing Kendrick Lamar after Kendrick shitted on him and Drake. Now, this just isn't the rules. It's just not the fucking rules, yo. The nigga surprised us with a dope ass album, and I still listen to it. I'm not taking that away from Cole. The nigga makes good music. But this move, you release the album and then you go apologizing like 3 to 4 days after release. And then on that song that you dissed K-Dot, you threw some light jabs, you know, like in boxing, like how a boxer, you know, throw them jabs, them little light jabs in the first round to check his reach and, you know, check to see, like, yo, how his opponent coming at him, you know, so he could set up some combos or whatever. Come on, yo. And then you go and renege on a diss, which is, like I said, totally breaking the fucking rules of hip hop. For fucking sucker ass apology in the middle of a war. Could you imagine Napoleon, nigga, going to war, and 2 days after, he said, nah, this war ain't right. Let me call back the troops. We got to pull back the troops. We can't go to war right now. Motherfuckers would be looking at you crazy, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, hip hop just really isn't the same no more. Do I think his apology will taint his career? Nope. Will he lose fans? Nope. Why? Because we live in a very soft, sensitive era. Me personally, I think this sensitive shit started. This may sound wild what I'm about to say, but I think this sensitive shit started when they started saying the cartoon Tom and Jerry and other cartoons was too fucking violent. I mean, I feel like if we out here accepting niggas wearing exotic colors on their fingernails with weed caps, yes, with weave caps on and hip hop, then Cole's career, it ain't in jeopardy. Now, if Cole did something like this in the 90s, his career would be motherfucking finished. Like, real talk. And let's stop with the kumbaya shit about Cole and Kendrick dissing each other. It would be harmful for the black community. Stop it. Just fucking stop it. I can name a thousand other issues that are more damaging to our community. Like, we all know Kendrick and Cole. They really fucking friends. They cool with each other. It would never have led to any street violence. It definitely would have created some legendary moments for hip hop, which is needed right now because hip hop is a stale product. It just is. The product is stale. You know what I'm saying? But back to Cole. He's just looking real messy out here. The other day, the nigga forgot his lyrics at a recent show. And now he's on Future new album, which I'm confused. Future beefing with Drake. But you got a feature on motherfucking Future album. Like, yo, it's crazy. Like, he looking real messy right now. You know what I mean? I mean, just what, a month ago, Cole was doing shows with Drake. You know, and it just seemed like, I mean, I really don't know where all this shit is headed, but, you know, I guess in due time we will see. But, like, even with more recently with Drake coming out with his diss song and then Rick Ross, which Rick Ross diss song, it wasn't like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really wasn't. Rick Ross shit, he's actually, like, he's getting stale. I'm gonna go back to my the adjective I used for explaining hip-hop, but yo, his flow is so formatted right now, like, you can just predict what the fuck he gonna say next. And I like Rick Ross. I'm actually a fan of his music, but that diss ain't it. The Drake diss, it was cool. That was really cool, but it wasn't too heavy with it. You know what I'm saying? Like Kendrick, I don't know what it is, man. When this nigga put words together, he has more passion and his vocal tone, and you could just feel his shit more. These guys, I don't know, man. They more like corporate. They more corporate. Like, they so commercial that it's just like a business. It's like when you go to motherfucking Dunkin' Donuts and you order that glazed donut, you know it's always going to taste the same as before. And that's how these niggas have became, to me. That's my opinion. You know what you're going to get. You know what you know what words is going to be said. You know how their vocal tone is. Like, nothing changes. It's a fucking company. That's how I feel. That's how I sum this shit up. You know what I mean?
Jay-Z. What's up, niggas? Yo, I know you ain't talking about me, dog. You? What?
Fuck Jay-Z.
You been on my dick, nigga. You love my style, nigga.
Fuck
with your soul like ether. Will. Teach you the king, you know you. Not. Godson across the belly.
Lose.
I prove you lost already.
Brace yourself for the main event. Y'all impatiently waiting. It's like an AIDS test. What's the results? Not positive. Who's the best? Pac, Nas, and Big. Ain't no best. East, West, North, South, floor style greetings. I embrace y'all with napalm.
This week's classic album is The Cool by Lupe Fiasco. Many people that's close to me, they know Lupe is easily in my top five all-time rappers, yo. But yeah, The Cool was released. It's actually Lupe's second album, and it was released December 18th, 2007 through First and 15th Entertainment and Atlantic Records. And there's some shit I just didn't know. As of 2022, the album was certified platinum. Yo, that is what's up, yo. That is really dope to hear that an artist like Lupe, you know, one of his albums went platinum. Because back in the day, they used to talk so much shit about conscious rappers and, you know, rappers that had the lyrical miracle flow and all that bullshit, that they couldn't go platinum or they couldn't make hit records. But I think Lupe actually was Kendrick before Kendrick. You know what I'm saying? Lupe is that dude. He was that dude, yo. He really was. Like, Jay-Z was trying to sign him crazy. Kanye did songs with him. Pharrell was trying to sign him. Like, yo, Lupe was that nigga, yo. He really was. Like, to me, he's still that nigga on some real shit. But I think he got tired of dealing with the politics of the whole business side of the music industry, and he just rolled the dice on himself and invested his bread into himself, and I don't blame him for that. But Lupe just always been a personal favorite of mine, yo. I remember when I first heard the song Kick Push, I was like, damn, boy, nice. He like calm with it, and he dope, and he got like this real distinct flow. Like, when you hear Lupe, you know it's him. Like, it's like, unlike these new motherfuckers, you know, they all fucking sound the same. They all fucking sound the same, yo. But The Cool album, to me, is one of Lupe's best albums out of his catalog. And I fuck with his catalog hard, especially the first album. That joint is crazy too. But Lupe's albums always got some type of theme or storyline to his album, which creates some excitement and just dopeness to it. The best songs on this album are Superstar, Paris, Tokyo, Hip Hop Saved My Life, Streets on Fire, Dumb It Down, and my shit, Little Weapon. I love how Lupe, you know, he introduced me to dope artists like Nicki Jean and Matthew Santos. Yo, he had those artists singing on like Superstar, that song. Matthew Santos, yo, never heard of this guy before, but he was singing on a hook, which actually like kind of made the song and shit. Like, not taking nothing away from Lupe, because he was spitting some dope shit, but that was a hit record, yo. That was a hit rock record for Lupe. And then on Hip Hop Saved My Life, he had Nicki Jean on there, John too, which both artists, I feel like they killed the features and shit like that. I think one of the most like unique things about Lupe Fiasco is that he knows how to give you a hit record for the radio, even though, you know, they labeled him as like a conscious rapper. He still knows how to make fucking records, though. This is just another timeless masterpiece, and I truly, truly hope y'all go and listen to this joint, go stream it. Shit, if you don't have it in your catalog, go buy it. Real rap. Thanks for listening to another episode of the 16s and Things. This is your host, Ms. 100, and I appreciate everybody that listened to my episodes. Thank you.
Dedicate. This one right here goes out to my homie with the drink. Know what I mean? He said, I write what I see. Write to make it right, don't like what I be. I'd like to make it like the sights on TV. Quite the great life, so nice and easy. See, now you can still die from that, but it's better than